taken care of. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk with you all for just a little while on this subject of a promise. A prayer, a power, and a people. Look to your neighbor and say, a promise, a prayer, a power, a people. Amen. Why don't you pray for me one more time? Loving God, our Father, we thank you. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. You who has given us the power of your Spirit. We thank you for the preaching moment one more time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you show up as the Word made flesh. Now, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us in the flesh this morning. Move us by the power of your Spirit. I pray, oh God, that I might decrease, that you might increase. That the words of my mouth, the meditations of my mouth, they would be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my shepherd and my leader. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Last week, we started a new series on the book of Ephesians. Somebody say Ephesians.
Ephesians!
Ephesians is one of Paul's letters that he wrote when he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want us to understand that Ephesians is not a book like many other books. There are many books where Paul is trying to address problems. Somebody say problems.
Problems.
Sometimes you need to write a letter because people are fighting. Anybody ever seen a fight? Anybody ever had conflict? Hello, somebody. Some of Paul's letters, like Galatians and 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, Paul is intentionally addressing people who are having problems.
Amen.
How many of you understand that the moment you got to church, you brought your problems with you? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And so when you start doing ministry and life together, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer uses this phrase, life together is not without conflict. But in Ephesians, there are two letters that Paul writes while he's in prison. One is Ephesians, and the other, that I want to emphasize, the other is Philippians. And in both Ephesians and in Philippians, Paul is actually writing to encourage the church. He's writing to give thanks to people who are faithful. This book, Ephesians, starts by saying to those who are faithful in Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a time, as we spend time together until we'll be in Ephesians through like Thanksgiving in our small groups and here on Sunday mornings. So I want us to really mark this time as a time of encouragement. This season is called Rooted and Grounded in Love. Amen? Are we still together?
Yes.
So as we look at our text this morning, I just want to emphasize four things, and I will take my seat. I promise not to keep us long. The first thing that I want to emphasize is that Paul is writing to us about a promise. He says in verse 11, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that you who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." That was my wife's email tag for a long time. We were dating. I was like, I love that line. To the praise of his glory. That was just her email tag. That's my boo. That was her email tag. Amen. That's some serious. I mean, you trying to be attracted to something. That, be attracted to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, oh, pick that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so he says in verse 13, "You were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit," who is a deposit. Who is? That means that the Spirit is a person. We understand in the Christian faith that there is a Trinity, the Father or the Creator. We use that interchangeably. The Creator or the Father, then also the Son, and also the Holy Spirit. They are each persons. They are each persons in the Trinity. Are we together?
Amen.
We can talk about what the Trinity is. But what the Trinity means. But what I want to emphasize here is the promise. Somebody say promise.
Promise.
The promise of the Holy Spirit. When we open the Bible, the first story that we see is the story of God doing stuff, creating stuff.
Yes.
And one of the first things that God creates, of course, is the land and the sea. sea separating night from day. God creates the animals and the birds and the creatures, the swarming creatures. Then when God is finished with creating, God says, I'm about to give aside myself in creation. And so God decides to make woman and decides to make man. He decides to make man and decides to make woman. And what we learn in Genesis 1 is that God breathes, God's breath, God's ruach, God's spirit. That's a Hebrew term for spirit. Somebody say ruach. You're speaking Hebrew now. You can do it so it goes into the back of your throat. Say ruach. Okay, ruach. That's the spirit, the wind of God. That is the Hebrew term for the wind of God. And God puts God's wind, God's spirit into the ground and forms out of the dust nefesh, which means a person, a self, a very self. God uses God's spirit from the very beginning of time to make us unique, to give us the ability to make choices, to give us intelligence, to give us a divine purpose, a divine understanding. Paul is saying that from the very beginning of time, God has always been interested in seeing you as the perfection of God's holy love and divine will. That's what God has always been up to. God has always been up to saying, man, did I get beside myself when I made Sarah choke? Did I get beside myself when I made Dave choke? Huh? Just look at them. I mean, shoot, they can go through, they can have back surgery, and they come in 3 weeks later, walk around like that happened. Did I get beside myself? Well, God is saying that there is something that can only be expressed in God's fullness and beauty because of the wind, the spirit of God that God has put in God's creation. Now, kids, here's where things get a little tricky. How many of us understand that sometimes when we're given a gift, we like to say it's mine and only mine. Are you feeling me here? Sometimes when I used to play with my Uncle Ben, got me a helicopter when I was like 8. And he gave it to me. He bought me and he gave it to me. But if my mother told me to stop playing with my helicopter, we had a problem. Are you following me? Because that thing, over time, that thing became mine. Okay, that child's not hearing me. When parents give our kids a chance to play, what's the games right now? Morocco, when you was a kid, why y'all playing Minecraft, Fortnite? Sometimes they just play Halo, sometimes, huh?
Chess and checkers.
Hopscotch. Oh, you should go old school. I don't play no hopscotch. But the kids now, like y'all got experience, they playing Fortnite. Come on, team, right? What else? Minecraft, what y'all playing? Queen, what games y'all playing? What games you like to play? Fortnite. You like to play Fortnite too? Roblox? Oh, that's a fun game. I played it today most of the time. Anyway. One of the things that parents do when they let you play a game is they give you rules, right?
Yes.
They give you rules. They say, I'm only going to let you play Fortnite for about an hour. Okay? An hour and a half. They give you these rules because they love you and they know what will happen to you if you will turn into a zombie if you just play Fortnite for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Your eyes will get all red and then you'll start getting really cranky. You'll forget to eat. You'll be mean and nasty without these rules. Are you following me? So I created you to play. I gave you the game. Are you following me?
Yeah.
But if you don't play the game, according to the limits that I've given unto you, you can play it, but even the game that I gave you can destroy you. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Are you hearing me? And so this is what God is saying about the gift of God's Spirit. God's Spirit, God's wind, was given to us as a gift, and he said, I just need you to obey a few rules. You can go anywhere you want to go but here. But of course, because God made us as intelligent beings, as soon as we heard that, but here, our curiosity went, and so we decided, I would rather go on my own and check out this but here. How many of you have been in a but here situation where you you knew that it wasn't good for you, but just because you had the option to do it, you said, I'm going to go ahead and try anyway. Are you following me? But here, I'm not going to get too far in your window. I'm back up before I come across your street. Are you feeling like that? Some of us know his name. Come on here. Some of us know her name. Some of us got her Instagram account on our page. If I opened your phone right now, are you following me? You might find that name. Are you hearing me on that button here? Are we together? But God gives us the gift of God's Spirit.
Amen.
As a gift to us, gives us rules on how to play the game. But so often for us, we cannot abide by those simple limits. They're just boundaries to protect us. And so over time, what happens to us is what happened to Adam and happened to Eve. And so over time, there's just a slippage. There's just a slippage. That thing which was divine in you, that thing which was always holy in you, that thing which was always of God in you, it gets to the place where God over and over again, he tries through Abraham, he tries through Isaac, he tries through Jacob, sends Moses to deliver God's people out of the hands of an oppressor in Egypt, over and over again, talks to Jacob at Bethel, and he sees the ladder of the angels ascending and descending. Over and over again, God is coming to God's people saying, I love you, I just need you to keep my love and our covenantal love going. If you just keep the love going, we'll be all right. If you just hear my voice and harden not your heart, we'll be all right. Sister O'Keefe said, if my people who are called by my name, this is what our sister O'Keefe was reminding of us in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, she was summarizing it. It says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, I will hear a voice from heaven and heal their land. If you can just stay in relationship with me, you'll be all right. But we over and over again decide that we would much rather go our own way. And so there is a wall. There is a point in which a loving parent who has tried their best says, I have to just leave you for a while. I'm praying that you'll come back. I'm praying that the deposit that I put in you is good enough. I know it's good enough stuff that you will come back on. There's a story in the Bible about a prodigal son, right?
Amen.
He is given all that he has. His father gives him all that he has. And he decides one day, he wakes up and says, Daddy, I wish you were dead. That's what he says. Daddy, I wish you were dead. He says, Daddy, I'm going to go on and do my own thing. And the prodigal son ends up living a life where he eats Skittles all day long, Laffy Taffy all day long, Pepsi all day long, drinks Mountain Dew, for 8 or 9 hours, and what happens? His teeth fall out, and he goes crazy, his eyes get all big and crazy, and the Bible says this, it says that the child came to himself, he remembered what his father gave him, he remembered the love that his father gave him, and said, I need to go back home. To a dad that loves you. And this is what God is saying to us in the scripture this morning through Paul. Paul is saying that Jesus is the only way to create that bridge of that dividing wall that was set between us and our Creator. The Creator that gave us good stuff that we decided to bug out and do our own thing on anyway. Are you following me? And so Paul is saying, I need you to hold on to the promise of the Spirit that I gave you from the very beginning. This is why he uses language around predestination. He's saying God has always wanted you to have this gift. And so he's always been pursuing you. He sent Abraham. He sent Isaac. He sent Jacob. And he sent Sarah. He spoke to Hagar, the God who sees a woman when she's hurting. Right? He spoke to all of these prophets to basically say, come on, he speaks to us to basically continue to say, come in the flesh and say, I love you, just remember what I gave you. And so Jesus comes as the ultimate prophet. Jesus comes as the ultimate priest. Jesus comes as the ultimate king. Jesus comes as the ultimate Moses. Jesus comes as the ultimate Abraham. Are you following me? To destroy that wall a parent sometimes has to put up because the parent just can't continue to watch their child just go bug out and go crazy. Are you still with me?
Amen.
So the love of Christ is the only thing that is strong enough to take down that wall of protection that the Creator had to put up and say, you know what? I remember and I love you and I'm going to take you back home with me. And so Jesus, when Jesus ascends, as we learn in Acts chapter 1, to the Father, Jesus gives them the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the church in the Ephesians is about 65 years after the death of Christ. There are those who remember Jesus. There are those who walked with Jesus. There are those who maybe they were in their 20s. Now they're in their 70s and 80s. They can remember the acts of God. They can remember the power of the Holy Spirit. And they remember people who prayed and waited on the Lord until the Spirit came. So somebody say, hold on to the promise. Anybody understand banking in here? There's a basic principle, and that is that you can't withdraw what you did not deposit.
Amen.
Come on in here. Somebody has done that. I know I ain't by myself. Somebody went to the bank thinking that everything was straight. And that's let me get my $20. And so you got to the ATM. And you said, I know I'm right around 35. I think I still have it, but there was an overdraft fee, there was another fee, something came through it. By the time you got there, that money was gone. Okay, let's not use banking. How about let's just use food? You cannot survive without eating. You can't expect to have energy if you don't eat some food. You can't expect to have energy for the race if you don't go ahead and eat yourself your Wheaties or eat yourself your barley and carrots. You need to have a deposit. And so Paul introduces prayer as a practice and as a discipline that enables us to remember how to refuel when we get low. Understand that Paul isn't just writing here, I pray for you, just because he just likes to write that. He is writing it because he's incarcerated, and in the times when you are really going through, that's when your disciplines kick in. Understand that in July, we went through an entire teaching series on Tuesday nights called Rhythms of Resistance, where we talked about what are the rhythms in my life that I need to maintain in order to have something from which I can draw. Life is hard. You will be tested. You will be tried. You will be tempted. But what can you draw on in those times that will enable you to make it through? Paul is saying, here he's saying, I just want to suggest that the reason why he says, I've been praying for you is because that is the discipline that will enable us to make it during hard times. When we get low, when it looks like we have doubts about whether God is your spirit truly with me, David says, cast me not away from your presence, O God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And in order for him to even do that, in order for that to even have been recorded in Psalm 51, we understand that there was a what? A prayer.
Amen.
So don't forget the promise, beloved, but also don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. And hear what Paul says. He says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I want us to remember and to understand that when we pray, let's not forget to give God thanks.
Amen.
When we pray, it's good to petition God. It's good to be able to say, God, the world is really messed up. We've got principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, people that are clearly of wicked intent. Now let me understand when I tell you, it is very difficult in the age in which we live to just naturally have an attitude of gratitude. We're living in a time where it's very difficult, maybe here's my voice, to have an attitude of thanksgiving. And so the practice that I want for us to engage in when we pray is remember to give God thanks. Say, and remember to give thanks. Paul has a pastoral heart in this letter, giving thanks for those for whom Christ died, giving thanks for those under whose care and charge God has placed him. God has placed these people under his care. And so I want us to remember to give God thanks. First, the promise. Second, the prayer. I love that what he prays, though, is he prays not only giving thanks, but he also says, I pray that your eyes will be open. I pray that you will have a gift of God's Spirit, that you'll be able to see things clearly. So as we pray, let's give God thanks.
Amen.
Let's also pray that in this season that we're living in, that we are able to see things clearly.
Amen.
We have to learn how to remember to pray for revelation from the Lord.
Yes.
One of my mother's favorite passages of scripture is from Proverbs, where it says, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. We have to learn how to pray that God, if we don't understand, look, we are a community.
Amen.
We are a community that allows questions. We are a community that encourages your questions and your doubts. And when you have those moments of doubt, I want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, to ask God for revelation. Ask God to make it clear. God, what is happening? Why is it that this nation is going through what it's going through? Why is it that it seems, as David said, that the wicked continue to prosper? And even as Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2, why is it that the wicked continue to prosper, but those who need you continue to suffer? Ask God for revelation.
Amen.
And I assure you, my brothers and my sisters, my beloved friends, that God will reveal to you in time.
Amen.
God will reveal. We don't know why we go through hard times. And we have to be willing to say, I don't know.
I don't know.
We need to figure out how to stop trying to put a bow on every situation. There's not a perfect bow on every situation. But what we can do is pray.
Amen.
We can ask God for revelation. We can ask God for wisdom and for insight. And God will give you wisdom.
Hallelujah.
God will give you insight. God will meet you where you are.
Hallelujah.
Almost done. First, there's a promise and there's a prayer. But also there is power. Hallelujah. Listen to what Paul says, even as he's praying. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He says, that power is the same as that mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly.